You're all very welcome to this service of Holy Communion, which will be on page 201 as usual. This morning is the fourth Sunday before Advent, but we're also going to be touching on All Saints Day a bit, as it was yesterday and All Souls is today. So we're going to begin our service by singing hymn 629. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect of the fourth Sunday before Advent. Almighty and eternal God, you have kindled the flame of love in the hearts of the saints. Grant to us the same faith and power of love, that as we rejoice in their triumphs, we may be sustained by their example and fellowship. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sit for the epistle.
The epistle is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you and one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. We sing the gradual hymn 639.
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, in the 6th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was listening recently to a politics programme on BBC, and the topic was the current state of Loch Ness. They were discussing the amount of green algae, the smell of the water, and the high level of pollution. So the Environment Minister was clarifying why it's in such a state. Pollutions from farms, factories, and just general and long-standing lack of investment. He went on to describe how it needed to be tackled. And apparently the solution isn't going to be popular with a lot of people and a lot of voters. Things will have to change, and we will have to do things differently. So Mark Carruthers pointed out to the minister that there would be elections coming up. Was he willing to make the hard, maybe unpopular choices when those choices and solutions could lose him his seat in the elections? You may think, what's that got to do with our reading for today? But I couldn't help reflecting on that interview when I read this, because it's got a lot of similar sentiments in it. This reading that we've just had has been often called the Christian Manifesto. It's Jesus setting out what it means to be a Christian. He was telling them what his vision of being a Christian in the world is, and how we have to live it. And in doing so, he must have caused a great deal of confusion, if not anger. Listen to his words. What could he be talking about? Blessed are you who are hungry and who weep. Similarly, he could say, how lucky are you if you have cancer or are unemployed or are struggling in your relationships? Then it gets worse. He talks about the need to love our enemies. He says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other one. Then pray for those who abuse you. How could anyone live up to those ideals? Surely it's too much to expect. And how can poverty and pain and loss be seen as a blessing? I think if Jesus was representing a political party and this was his manifesto, I doubt that he would win many votes. Yet, over the years, people have taken comfort from these words. And my feeling is that it must be because they speak to each one of us. They speak to each one of us at some stage of our lives. None of us lead easy, comfortable lives. We all experience loss of some kind at some stage. We all experience sickness or the sickness of a relative. We weep. We despair. We question. We have lots of questions about suffering. So our lives aren't always straightforward and easy. And that's why I think it's so reassuring for us that so much of the teaching of the scripture is devoted to the forgotten or the struggling or the victim. The Psalms are full of our yearnings. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I lie on my bed and cry aloud to God all night. The people who Jesus was speaking to saw something in him which made them flock to him in their need and suffering, because they were searching for meaning and answers and help. And Jesus had such compassion for those in need, for the excluded, for the victim. He was saying, "Blessed are you who feel forgotten. God sees you. God does not forget you. The world may overlook you, but God doesn't. God is with you and cares for you. Hang in there. It won't always be like this." Then he goes on to explain to the crowd how they should live, how to treat others, giving those who need them both your coat and your shirt. He says, pray for those who insult you and abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. But turn the other cheek always. Pray for those who mistreat you. Is that not a bit naive? The world doesn't work like that, because we don't want to be walked on or made fools of, and we aren't meant to be doormats. Yet, Jesus is telling us that's exactly what we must do. He spells it out. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Why do we find it so hard to live like that? Is it pride? Is it fear? Or is it that we don't want to be taken advantage of? We don't want to be seen as mugs. But Jesus is showing us a different way, the Christian way, a way which challenges us to action. There are times when I find it very hard to live out these ideals, because it's a hard ask, it's a challenge. It's hard to turn the other cheek. It's hard to see things from someone else's point of view, and I keep getting it wrong. But you know, when we don't try those sort of things, we know the result of what happens. I have taken too many funerals of people where there has been a breakdown in family relationships. People nurse old hurts. Sometimes they don't even properly remember what the row was about, and no one will apologize. Look at us here in Northern Ireland, Christian Northern Ireland, where there's still mistrust between communities, where people still regard the other with suspicion. I wonder, have we really made a lot of progress in living together respectfully with all our differences? And I can't help but mention the appointment of Bishop Sarah Mullally as the new Archbishop of Canterbury, because that's causing some disagreements in the church. So it'll be interesting to see how the church works it out, because the world will be watching. And you know, can't we all do better than just break off relationships? Can we not learn to respect difference and maybe be enriched by it? Do to others as you would they should do to you. I don't know if living a Christian life, demonstrated by our treatment of others, can be something we do in our own strength or by our own will. We need help. We need the help of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the gifts of the Spirit are sacrificial kindness and gentleness and generosity. These few days, we've been thinking of All Saints and All Souls. Yesterday was All Saints, today is All Souls. And we're thinking about and celebrating those who have been important in our lives, whose faith and example have been an inspiration to us. I'm sure you're thinking of someone today who inspired you or set you an example that you always hold on to. I don't think being a saint means otherworldly or being a perfect person or someone who has a particular aura about them. Surely it's someone who shows by their behavior, their attitudes, and their lives that they're a follower of Jesus. It could be our granny. It could be a teacher, or it could be a very well-known figure. I am involved to an extent with the Corrymeela community, which was founded 60 years ago to try and bring reconciliation. And they had a big celebration this week, remembering the very beginnings when Ray Davey started it off. And the interesting thing was that during the celebration, they talked about how they themselves had been changed by the people they encountered over the years. Their vision was broadened. Their understanding of what it really means to be a Christian has been enlarged. They're beginning to understand, 60 years later, what Christianity really means. Going the extra mile, seeing things from another point of view, welcoming the stranger, accepting the other, the one who seems different, and having their concept of what it means to be a Christian turned upside down. No judgmentalism, no superiority, just openness and welcome and constant learning. I sometimes think, you know, if we talk about encouraging people to come into the church, we almost feel we want them to come and be like us, instead of welcoming them in and seeing what we can learn from them. Because we all have different experiences and we can all learn from one another. So this morning, let us give thanks for all those whom we have known who have had such a positive influence on us, and dedicate ourselves again to being followers of Jesus Christ, who loved unconditionally, accepted unconditionally, and paid the price in order to show us how to really live. Amen. We stand and we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 205. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to be holy. We give you thanks and praise for the sanctity of the saints. May we be inspired by them and live and work to your praise and glory. We give thanks that you sought us out and brought us to yourself. Lord, may the church help to show that you seek for and welcome all. May your church be an accepting church, a hospitable church. And we ask that you will guide us in our stewardship, that we may use our gifts to the benefit of others and to your glory. We give thanks for generous people, welcoming people, for those who have enriched our lives by their grace and goodness. We pray for our own families and loved ones, for the area in which we live and the places where we work. We remember all those who are sick, either at home or in hospital. We remember all who have been injured and traumatized by acts of violence. This morning we remember the victims of the train stabbings in Huntingdon. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, went about doing good and healing all kinds of sickness, continue his gracious work among us in hospitals and in nursing homes. Give wisdom, sympathy, and patience to those who care for the sick. Surround them in body or in mind with your love, and remind them that you have promised to be with them always, even in their deepest distress, and give them that peace which passes all understanding. We pray for a world of division and war. We pray for those who have been traumatized because of what they witness every day. Move in the hearts of all those who lead our governments, that they may work with a new intensity to bring peace and justice. We pray for all those who work for peace, for the aid agencies, the United Nations, for centres of reconciliation. In a moment of quietness, we bring our own needs to the Lord. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We sing the offertory hymn, number 9, in the other book. Yeah. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We go to page 216. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. And just before we come to communion, we say the prayer of humble access on page 207. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Amen. we being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Lord of heaven, in this Eucharist, you have brought us near to an innumerable company of angels and to the spirits of the saints made perfect. As in this food of our earthly pilgrimage, we have shared their fellowship, so may we come to share their joy in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Go and know that the Lord goes with you. Let him lead you each day into the quiet place of your heart, where he will speak with you. Know that he loves you and watches over you, and that he is with you always, wherever you are and however you may feel. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those you love, today and forever. Amen. I haven't been given any notices, so I'm sure you all know what's going on. Next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday here in church, of course. It's been very nice to have been with you again, and we're going to finish by singing hymn 643, Be Thou My Vision. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.